Dibble. Give me the butt. Give me the butt. Scaredy cat.
Yeah.
Mr. Simpson. Yes, indeed. Mr. Simpson can show that screen. Let's hear some more. Yes, indeed. Mr. Simpson, no, he can scream. Yeah, well, let me ask you this. What do you think about screaming? Does it serve a good purpose? Does it just help us get some good laughs in? Well, take a listen to what Seeker.com says about screaming.
A really good scream is a beautiful thing, evolutionarily speaking. It can cause wide-reaching results, and when paired with a threat, whoa, man. Fear can set off what's called a defense cascade, a set of behaviors that cause you to run or defend yourself, freeze because you're so scared, or keep you from shouting or moving at all. Sometimes it can cause you to fall over or even faint to protect yourself. Seriously, fear is really powerful. The source of this emotional response is buried deep inside your brain in a set of neurons called the amygdala. The fear can be emotional, like abandonment, or from physical danger, like an attack. But it can also be triggered by the sound of screams. And new research has found just what about a scream triggers your amygdala the best or the worst. Screams, according to the paper, are a unique signal and exploit distinct features not used by regular speech. When you hear voices, your brain processes them. Like, do I know that man or woman? How old do I think they are? Are they emotional right now? Screams? No. They go right from ear to amygdala. Bam! And for the first time, this study has characterized the scariness of different screams. And they use a measure called roughness. Roughness is a measure of modulation. Think of alarm sounds. Rougher ones are scarier. I don't like klaxons, for example. Thanks, alien. If someone screams, you can hear that modulation. It's like a vocal strobe light. You just can't ignore it. The acoustic roughness, they found, selectively activates the amygdala, triggering fear and danger processing. Fear just feels different from other emotions, right? And this is partly why. Without it, we wouldn't have made it this far in our evolution. There's a direct line to our fear center. Our brain processes screams differently from other auditory communications. As animals, we share this fear response with other creatures, but as humans, we can sometimes get stuck into this cascade, replaying the fear again and again in our minds. By learning about how fear works, we can hopefully help people suffering from trauma overcome it with therapy. It's amazing that all of this comes back to two little bits of neurons buried deep within our ancient brains.
I'll tell you what. The scream. Any of you have any favorite screams that you've seen in the movies? I tell you the truth, I think Homer Simpson set the bar high. Well, I guess a good scream can be real good for you. Let out some tension. I don't know how good it is for the vocal cords, but yeah, a good scream might do us good every once in a while, man. All right, let's get on to, you know, speaking of screaming, 13 things that mentally strong parents don't do. Amy Morin, again, helping us just learn how we can raise self-assured children. Increase their chances for success along the way. I think that's a good thing. All right, so one of the things, you know, we do to scream and, well, hey, that might relieve the pain, the pressure, the stress. That might get it done. At other times, though, you know, there's something going on and a scream may not be the right thing. So what we can do instead, you know, if there's something going on and it involves pain, particularly emotional pain, we may need to go ahead and put into play some other techniques in relieving the pain and the stress that comes with that pain. One of the ways that Amy recommends we teach our children to express pain is by using an art journal. You all, some of you probably heard the conversation I had with Brother B earlier in the week, and he was talking about the work that he does with children. And one of the things that that children can do is do an art journal. You know, a lot of people talk about journals, and of course we have grown folks who do journaling. We have teens who journal. And it's not just something for females. I know that it can be tempting to just automatically equate journaling with females, but I remember even in elementary school, some of our teachers used to encourage all of us, the boys and the girls, to keep journals. I think I did that for a little while. I think it's a good thing. I just didn't stay with it. I never stayed with it. I kind of enjoyed it when I was doing it, but I guess I just didn't enjoy it enough to stay with it. But I can tell you, I can definitely see some benefits to journaling, especially those times when you're writing something down that's productive. Maybe you're gaining some insights about something, and it really helps you. Well, think about how it's helping you right then in the moment. And when I say in the moment, I mean while you're actually writing the information down in your journal. Because you know how they talk. They tell us that, you know, we can learn so much by reading or observing. We can learn so much by listening. We can learn even more, though, by listening, reading, and writing down. In fact, we've had an expert to let us know that it's more beneficial to actually write down thoughts that we want to really benefit from than it is to type them up. Something about the process of writing just adds more benefit. So, art journal, journals in general, how about specifically right now, art journals? Young children who struggle with writing can benefit from drawing pictures. So they can set aside a few minutes before bed every night, sit down with you, and you can encourage your child to draw a picture about his day. That can teach him to start making sense of what he did and of how he feels. How about the private journal? Children can benefit from writing about their thoughts and writing about their feelings every day. I know sometimes you all hear me discussing something, a topic, and you hear me say, hey, look, tell me how you feel about it. And I'll specifically say, right now, I don't want you to tell me what you think about it. Tell me what you feel. Tell me how you feel about this situation. And then I want you to start talking to me about emotional responses that you have. Are you angry about it? Are you excited about it? Then you can tell me your thoughts. Well, I think it'll be good because. See, now you're starting to tell me about your thinking. Sometimes I definitely want us to be thinking, but I want us to become skilled at also recognizing and acknowledging our feelings, or if you will, our emotional responses. Yes. All right. Stay with me. We'll be right back, and we're going to do some more on this whole issue of becoming more effective parents.